Shore Talk, the sound of yachting world.
A radical new innovation that might change the way we sail for good. Matthew Sheehan gets to grips with a new concept in sailing, the loop keel.
I've come to Greffham Water, one of the biggest sailing centres in the UK, up near Bedford, and I've come to meet two gentlemen who have got some very interesting ideas on what they think should be slung beneath the bottom of the boats of the future. James McNaughton and John Howes have a company called Howes McNaughton Technology, and they've been working on an idea of a loop keel system. And in order to experiment with it, not only have they spent plenty of time in the test tank, but they've also modified two conventional Laser One dinghies. One of them has got a conventional fin and bulb type keel. Perhaps that's not conventional for a Laser One. The other one has got this loop keel system that they talk about, which I suppose the easiest way to describe it is if you're standing in front of the boat, looking aft with the boat out of the water, instead of a fin just coming down from underneath, you have two fins that come out from either side of the boat and join in a sort of heart shape formation underneath the boat with a bulb of lead slung beneath. So what's it all about? Well, I'm going to go and find out. So, John and James, morning. Two very unusual looking lasers sitting in front of us. James, talk me through what's going on underneath these two.
Well, we basically took two lasers because we wanted a standard boat everyone was familiar with. And we put under one of them, we put what you call a traditional fin keel. So there's about 70 kilograms of ballast in the keel, and it's connected up and it's got a fairly standard cross, you know, symmetric fin keel shape. We then took the second laser, which was probably number 7 in terms of the prototypes and models, the one you're looking at, so it's, you know, it's been through quite a few iterations, and we've attached exactly the same ballast at exactly the same point, so the centre of gravity is identical. There's virtually identical keel areas, but on the second one we have a keel that's in the shape of a loop, and if you imagine it, there's two arms coming out of either side of the hull, and then they come back and they form a straight connection point, sort of to form a V underneath where it attaches to the ballast. So there's a clear section inside of this where you'd normally see your fin keel.
Just to be absolutely clear on it, so we're not trying to do anything to do with the laser itself. The laser was just there because it was an easy boat to use, I guess.
It was. I mean, when we first started this, we wanted to test it. We didn't want to spend too much money without, if there wasn't anything in the principles that we thought would happen. So I managed to find a laser hull, I think, for £150. We chopped it apart. I mean, they're never going to be used as lasers again once we've sort of got through with them. And we built a very rough and dirty original test loop keel, which we took out. And actually, that was when we thought, there's something here. It's really behaving very differently to a standard boat.
Can you, sort of in simple terms, sort of describe what it is about this loop keel system that you think is so special?
Okay, what the loop does, it generates a constant force towards the centre of the hull through the middle of the loop. So effectively it's pushing water into that space. If the boat tips up at all, part of the loop will come clear of the surface of the water. Because there's this constant pressure to push water into the centre of the loop, you end up with a sort of heap of sea, actually above the normal water level, filling the loop up as you sail. Because that's on the weather side, that additional bit of water above the normal sea level or the water above the normal water line acts as travelling water ballast with the boat. Now, because the force is constant around the loop and is completed by pressure on the bottom of the hull, you get that loop of force without any significant drag penalty. It doesn't dump any nonsense into the wake. It just remains as a closed system with the boat. So the flow system around the loop tends to act as additional displacement on the boat. It makes the boat behave as if it's heavier, if you want it to. There's a couple of tweaks. You'll notice on the trailing edge of the loop there's a flap system. You can take off you can move the flaps outwards to remove this closed loop force, which means you can actually remove any tendency for the loop to fill up as the boat heels. You can actually make the loop hollow out, which makes the boat actually behave as if it has very slightly less mass than when the boat's normally trimmed. So what it gives you is the ability to vary the displacement of the boat at will while you sail. So in evil conditions, you may want more displacement to calm things down. You can crank on a bit of flap. In very light conditions, you may want to actually physically reduce the apparent displacement. You can push the flap outwards. You can also do this without a flap if you match the keel exactly to a hull form, such that as the boat heels, the bows run lower, she runs down by the head. That'll apply incidence to the limb of the keel that remains in the water, and that's the same as adding flap. It's very hard to describe in words. You really do need to see pictures.
And presumably go and see it for real. So I think we'd better go and do that. Let's get out there. So we're out here on Grafham Water. We've got about 15 to 20 knots of breeze, sometimes a little bit more than that. So it's fairly challenging conditions, or exciting conditions at the very least, in dinghies at the moment. And we're just following John now in the loop keel, and with me is James McNaughton. James, this is sort of one of the good points of sailing from what you were saying to me earlier on, is downwind is where it's particularly stable.
Yeah, no, it's fantastically stable, because in the current configuration, as soon as the boat starts to roll to one side or the other and the loop breaks the surface of the water, it pulls you straight back down, so the boat back level again.
It certainly looks that way when John's sailing downwind. I mean, lasers are in gusty conditions like this. Can get a nice little roll on, but this seems pretty stable. He's now actually come up onto a reach, and we're just sailing sort of on a beam reach here into a bit of a gust as we come in, and just looking from the transom, I'm just looking that loop of the keel's now coming out to the onto the weather side. Now, what's that doing for the stability, James?
It's doing two things for the stability. First of all, it's adding a certain amount of downforce. It's actually helping to right the boat. And if you look through the loop, you can actually see a heap of sea, which is sort of a physical representation of what the actual keel is doing. In addition to that, there's all the water that's trapped up in what we call the vortex loop, which is part of the sort of, there's a circulation system around the whole keel. And that adds to the inertia. So not only is the keel helping to right the boat, it also means that if you get hit by a gust or changing conditions, the boat's much less responsive and therefore it feels much more stable.
Yeah, that was certainly what I experienced when I was out there sailing it earlier on. It's an unusual feeling, isn't it, for a boat that is essentially just a dinghy, a modified dinghy, admittedly, with a lump of lead on the bottom. It felt like a much, much bigger boat. Now, just as I say that, I have to say we're out here with a whole load of other dinghies out on Grafham Water, and as our friend John just sailed along really quite comfortably in his Laser August and his Laser 1, gust hit a Laser Stratus, and in they went as quick as you like. It didn't seem to affect John at all, did it?
No, I mean, it does help that there is a proper keel on the Laser with part of the modifications, but the boat is phenomenally stable, and the keel, you know, it's one of those ones where, you know, we got you down today, Matthew, to sail it, just so that, you know, you can just feel that difference, and it's not sort of, you know, looking at numbers doesn't really quite convey the sort of what's going on when you're actually out in the boat and how different it behaves.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. Actually, they've got two boats down here. They've got one with a loop keel on it, and they've got another one with a fin keel. It's a bit like the Laser Centerboard, but with a lump of lead on the bottom. And sailing both of them, you're left in absolutely no doubt as to the difference between the two boats. The one with the lump of lead and the normal fin is quite a... It just feels like a heavy laser, really, doesn't it?
Yes, no, I mean... Exactly, or it actually, I would say, it just feels like a normal yacht, although you don't quite realise how twitchy normal yachts are until you step into the other boat.
Yeah, and then when you get into the one with the loop keel, initially it feels a little heavier on the helm, but then certainly as these gusts come through, you realise that the thing is very resistant to stall, which I was very surprised at that, how it didn't want to broach out. It will if you really push it, but compared to the conventional one, it seems a lot more docile.
It's definitely a lot more docile to, well, stalling and broaching, although there's two different things going on. The stalling is because of the fact that the keel is at an oblique angle to the flow, and therefore separation is much less likely to happen. And the broaching is because we sweep the keel back. So as the boat heels, you're actually removing some of the area that acts as lateral resistance, and the actual centre of lateral resistance moves back down the boat, so it can compensate for the fact that the boat is heeled. And you could actually design a boat, this one isn't perfectly balanced, but you could design a boat that literally could heel and just keep going in a straight line without you having to adjust the helm at all.
Yeah, that's certainly another of the very noticeable things, is that as the heel comes on, really there isn't an awful lot of load on the rudder. It's quite surprising. It's not until you get to quite alarming angles of heel that you even get any feel on the helm.
No, that's right. And I mean, at that point, the rudder's virtually not in the water, and there's just hardly any bite at all.
I have to also say that we were trying to get some pictures of it, and we were trying to encourage John to capsize it so we can get some pictures of the keel, and it was surprisingly difficult to capsize it.
Yes, if we'd been doing the same exercise in the fin keel, it'd be over in no time at all.
Yes, it looks like some of these gusts are sort of pushing him to the edge and nearly getting him in, but so far, he hasn't capsized.
Yeah, luckily he's a fairly confident sailor. If I was in there, I have no doubt that you'd have seen me in several times by now.
Well, James, if we keep talking like that, he's bound to go in eventually. We were just watching you out there. There are quite gusty conditions out there. What's she feel like?
Well, a lot more solid than a laser, but that's not too surprising given the additional 17 kilos. What you tend to notice is that she'll heel so far and then bite. When you asked me to capsize so you could take a photograph of the bottom of the keel, that was actually quite a challenge to get her to go all the way.
Yeah, we thought you didn't really want to go swimming.
I hate swimming. It's just I will if you ask me nicely. No, she stiffens up. When you really notice the difference, though, is on a broad-to-beam reach, when she sort of grips the water, and she will actually fly if there's enough power. You do have to watch the initial acceleration to make sure the bows don't vanish under the waves. Once she's stable, you tend to wonder what all the fuss is about. You just steer the boat and off she goes. Yeah, it's quite effortless. It's very good for a bad sailor like me.
There seem to be an awful lot of advantages in this system, in that it does make for a more docile boat. It appears to be less prone to broaching and to stalling out. But is there a trade-off to that? Is there a disadvantage to this?
Yeah, there's a small increase in drag, because if you're going to generate all that additional force when you're heeled, there is another force associated with generating a righting moment, and that tends to be a small increase in drag. Against that, because the boat stiffens up hard as she heels, beyond about 15 degrees of heel, the increase in power available to the rig, in other words, you stop heeling so much, the power comes in, and it more than offsets the drag after about that point. Sailing modest heel angles, she will be slightly slower generally. Powering them up, though, this boat should have the edge.
And I noticed that when we were sailing it, compared to the conventional, if we can call it that, fin keel configuration, that this boat seemed the one with the loop keel seemed a little less likely to get up onto the plane. In fact, I found it quite difficult to get her onto the plane.
Yeah, characteristic of the loop is the way to visualise it, it ties a sort of cylinder of water through the centre of the loop. If the boat lifts out of the water and the top of the loop comes out of the water, the loop tries to remain full of water, so effectively the boat's holding onto the surface. You can get around that with careful tailoring of the loop to the after section of the hull. But if the loop actually breaks the surface, the boat won't go any higher, which is where you get the apparent reluctance from. If you tailored the loop so that it was slightly further below the waterline, you'd notice you were slightly less stable over the initial 5-10 degrees of heel, but then you were definitely plane.
On that subject, on the heel angle, I noticed sailing the boat, and it seemed to be the case when we were watching you, that initially if you allow the boat to heel to about sort of 15 degrees or so, that she seems to then stiffen up quite considerably.
Yeah, that's correct. That's where the benefit really kicks in. You don't get any benefit at all from the keel when you're actually upright. The way it works is if you expose the weather side of the loop, that side of the loop's trying to remain full of water. It's designed to actually force sea inside the loop. If you pick that bit of sea out of the water, it's equivalent to having an extra half a ton or so of water ballast, which comes up as you tip over. When you're upright, it's not there. When you notice that, it's when there's a reasonable amount of loop exposed, and that is at about 15 degrees.
Good. Well, I guess it's back to the drawing board for me to get you to answer a few more questions with a few more diagrams, so we'll go inside. Back ashore, that was pretty exciting out there. I feel like I'm back in the classroom now. I've done the practical, it's now back to the theory. Very interesting indeed. Obviously quite a difference between the two boats. James, where are you going long term with this?
Long term we would like to see it on medium displacement yachts, to particularly, you know, very large yachts. For very large yachts, it has the one huge advantage, which is that they don't need to have the same draft requirements if they fit a loop keel. They can get away with a shallower boat and the same sailing performance. Instead, the alternative at the moment for particularly large yachts is they intend to have lifting keels. In the medium displacement market, we see it again as sort of, basically it makes the boat nicer to sail. You know, you can improve the performance, you could easily take it into sort of the more competitive arena if you want to have the full controls such as flaps, but you can design a yacht with the loop keel that will just sail. It will be a better sailing boat and it will be a nicer ride than is currently available, and there's no difference in terms of weight, material costs. You know, it's going to have exactly the same cost implications. It's just a sort of fundamentally different manner of setting the boat up.
Between the size scale of a laser and the kind of boats you've got in mind, which I presume from what you're saying are sort of cruiser kind of size, how much more testing do you need to do? Is this a project that you need to build up and then move on to another level, so you need to test on a slightly bigger boat? Or is that, or can you go straight from what you've learnt in the laser straight up to big boat, John?
We have a full theoretical picture of what's going on this thing now. It's taken us, as James mentioned earlier, about probably 5 or 6 iterations to get to this stage. We know that it has to be matched very precisely to the hull that it's fitted to, which needs some computational techniques to do the job properly. It's not very difficult stuff if you've got the tools to do it. We know why the keel acts as it does. We know how to calculate its performance. In my view, we're actually ready to put it on a bigger boat, and we could tailor it precisely to a selected hull. It has an overriding benefit for me, because I like sailing in wild weather personally, and I think it's a benefit that we haven't actually pushed particularly hard, but it's one we ought to. It's structurally, it's phenomenally good. It's a triangulated unit, and it ties in very nicely with the rig loads. I'd quite like to see it used on a serious distance ocean racing boat. It could be tailored to produce a minimal drag if it was properly tailored to a hull. It would produce the dynamic righting moment very, very nicely. The best thing you can do in rough conditions is keep moving, because it'll give you... It stabilises the boat as you go fast. Heaving too is probably a bad idea with this thing. You're better off moving. Properly tailored, it would give you the stiffness, possibly even of a canting keel, but without the mechanism, and with no moving parts potentially, unless you really want the flaps on there. And as James said, you don't have to have the flap. You can do it by hull shape matching. So it should give you the speed performance if properly tailored. It should give you the stiffness. It should be much more seaworthy. It should be significantly stronger. That would be a very nice place to see it go.
Yeah, it seems like it's a win-win-win-win-win, perhaps.
Not entirely. If you misuse it, it will create more drag. There's no avoiding that. If you're sailing dead upright in light conditions, a boat with a fin keel will walk past you steadily. In anything from medium conditions upwards, this boat should have the edge. Because of the additional stiffness you get, if you really want to go fast, you can actually crowd more sail on it, and you won't go flat. It will actually carry more sail. The lasers, you may have noticed, if you pick one of the masts up, they're a touch heavier than masts you're probably used to. And that's partly a function of the success of the loop keel, in that in the early days of testing, we broke and bent masts all over the place, and we've actually had to put beefed up rigs on.
Yeah, it certainly felt like that when we carried it up the slipway. Now, one other thing you mentioned to me earlier on today was that you were talking about some of the people who recognised the importance of this configuration a long time ago, and that one of them you mentioned that hadn't been taken seriously for a good sort of 50 or 60 years. This isn't going to happen to you, is it?
Probably. It was not so much this configuration. It's an aeronautical bit of history. A mathematician called Frederick Lanchester, back in the 1890s, worked out a thing called the circulation theory of lift, and published two fantastic books called Aerodynetics, 1 and 2, very rare books now, where he explained that if you take a rotating flow and you mix it with a linear flow, you get something very, very like the flow around a lift-producing foil. And then he realised that because you could take these rotating flows and these linear flows and treat them as separate entities, if you have a closed loop system with a rotating flow in it, it's like a smoke ring. That's exactly what a smoke ring is, but it's bound to the foil that carries it, which means it doesn't actually shed anything into the wake. It's a lossless system. And you can superimpose other flows on it, asymmetric flows, to generate lift. But all the while, there's this underlying flow system tied to a foil. That has a lot to do with the way the loop keel does what it does. We call this apparent mass. The momentum contained in that circulatory flow stays with the keel at all times, and it's directly the momentum in that circulatory system is always proportional to the speed of the boat. So it acts exactly like an added mass, as if it's part of the boat. Now, Fred Lanchester wasn't taken seriously when he published his papers, and I think it was the Royal Society that refused him membership on the back of that. A lot of brilliant aerodynamicists after the First World War, based in Germany, picked up some of Lanchester's work and realised that he was onto something, and it led to a man called Max Munck developing something called biplane theory, where he realised that for a given wingspan and for a given lift, a biplane was actually of lower drag than a monoplane, as long as the span's the same. That translates to our keel, where for the same depth, we can actually have greater efficiency, because we're a highly non-linear system. It's a very three-dimensional entity. Lanchester's work was eventually fully understood, probably in about the 1950s, and now it's the basis of all the computational packages that make nice, pretty pictures of boats with their own way systems, in which you see occasionally in respectable sailing magazines. If Lanchester hadn't done this in the 1890s, those pictures wouldn't exist.
Well, let's hope everybody takes your idea seriously. Let's hope it doesn't take another 50 years for someone to actually pick it up. John, James, thanks very much indeed.
Yeah, thank you.
The Loop Keel system is featured in the April issue of Yachting World, on sale from the 8th of March. To see the Loop Keel in action, make sure you go to Yachting World Extra at www.yachtingworld.com, where there's a video of the trials at Grafham Water. Thanks for listening. Watch out for future podcasts at www.yachtingworld.com. Shore Talk is an Airwaves media production for Yachting World.